Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, we have a guest in the studio. We always like to see some smiling faces in the studio because a lot of them are remote. But Nate Moser is the Business Development Director at Oasis Systems for his job. But a couple other things he does here, a couple other fingers he has in the pie. The coordinator for Smalls, and you're going to tell us what that is. Also a lot of things in the industry, CSEP certified. We're going to talk about systems engineering a little bit here as well today. But Nate, welcome. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Definitely. So Nate, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background? You started talking about, hey, I'm that perfect balance between project management, but tell us about, you know, what that, you know, what it means to you to kind of float that gap that you were talking about there.
Sure. I'm kind of a unique person. I was born and raised on a farm in North Dakota. So I've got the background of you're told once and that's it. You don't ever have to be told twice because you don't want to be told twice. From then, I moved actually to Colorado right after high school, got my first electrical engineering degree. And then from there, I continued to start working as an engineer, but decided I wanted to keep moving on and progressing throughout my career. Uh-huh. And one of the unique things I wanted to do is I had leadership that would always tell me, hey, we want you to go back and get a master's degree in EE now or in a PhD in electrical engineering. My response to them was, why would I do that? I already have a bachelor's degree. I'm not planning on teaching, so I want to diversify my capabilities so I can slide into more than one position if you need me. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started thinking about, well, the big thing at that time was system engineering just coming out as an actual degree. So I went back and got back to school and got my first master's degree in system engineering. Worked a little while as a professional systems engineer and then decided, well, maybe I should go back and let's get a second master's degree now in project management. What I was doing, I was designing and building ground-based satellite tracking stations for the AFSCN, the Air Force Satellite Communications Network, mm-hmm. working directly for Honeywell here in town. I did that for 15 years. Kind of got bored with traveling the world, bedding down systems. So I went back and started studying for my Certified System Engineering Professional certification through INCOSI, which is the International Council of System Engineering, and got my certification. And what that's really allowed me to do is it allowed me to really sit and actually have a conversation with project managers, with engineers. So I'm that manager, if you will, or leader that can not only lead people, but I can also talk the tech side.
Yeah. So let's talk about, there's two things I want to talk about out of that. But first of all, North Dakota, the farm. So I always ask everybody from North Dakota, if I was going up there to visit, what would I go see?
The rolling plains.
I get the same look. The from rolling everybody. Plains.
Well, so there's a lot, right? We've got the world's largest sculptures. I think it's.
Where's that at?
It's right off Interstate I-94, between Bismarck and Mandan.
Yeah.
Bismarck, Mandan, Minot area. You get the Majestic Highway. Which is what that is. It's the world's largest sculptures. In Jamestown, North Dakota, you've got the world's largest buffalo, which is massive to go look at. We got the world's largest Holstein cow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The Badlands. Really exciting. I went through the Badlands. Was cool, that transition area.
Yeah.
That was really neat.
So I'm from the central part of the state. So I'm a huge hunter. So yeah. The bird hunting up there is... some of the best hunting in the entire world.
I bet. Yeah, nobody's tromped all over it for ever. Some places you go.
Well, it's starting to get that way now, especially with the oil boom and everything up there. And yeah, we're starting to get a lot of out-of-staters coming in and hunting. IR and out-of-stater now.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break here from our sponsor. We'll be right back to talk some more with Nate.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today, talking to Nate Moser, the Business Development Director at Oasis Systems. So, Nate, before the break, we were talking about a little bit of hunting, North Dakota. I drove through there a couple years back, and it was literally like the last state in the country I hadn't been to. And I always ask people, what can I go up there to see? What can I plan? So I finally end up just driving through from end to end. There's a, you know, a way to get from Minnesota to Montana,
correct,
right? Just driving, yep, through. Got pictures of my, you know, my son in the wood chipper.
Yeah, there you go. I'm Fargo, North Dakota.
But, yeah, it wasn't much that anybody could ever tell me to get through there. But, yeah, I could see a lot of nice hunting areas and the oil up there. People are just flocking up there for that industry.
They are.
I see that a lot.
They are. And so if you're an avid outdoorsman, it is definitely a mecca.
Yeah.
I mean, for fishing and just water sports and hunting, anything from small game to big game.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the gamut of everything pretty much up there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing, systems engineering. It's a relatively, I don't know if I'd say new, but there's not very many people that go after this profession. And I know my chief of operations, Ken Lambert, is working on a doctorate in systems engineering at Colorado State. And, you know, the material that he's always reviewing, everything, there's, you know, like five people in the world that are involved in it. But tell us about what that means to you, you know, systems engineering approach to whatever program operation you're working on.
Sure. So as I was growing up, if I will, through my professional career as an engineer, one of the things I started seeing, and this was early 2000s, I started seeing companies, especially the big companies, the big boys, the Honeywells, the Northrops, the Raytheon, Harris, all the above, they started calling their high-level engineers system engineers. So at first it was more of a title change, and it was that old gray beard, if you will, that person that had been there for 40 years, knows everything there is to know about that system.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what a true system engineer is. A true system engineer is somebody that really looks at your overall system of systems from cradle to grave and really takes that million-mile view of what's going on with whatever you're working on. A system of systems can be anything. Your body is a system of systems. System engineer really translates to everything in the world. And to me, that's what a true system engineer is. These people, especially, like I said, on these bigger contracts, they'll call themselves system engineers, and they might have a mechanical engineering degree or a electrical engineering degree. But unless you truly have went to school and got extra schooling for system engineering, you really don't quite understand what it means to be a true system engineer. And to me, what it really means is that whole cradle to grave, that whole working together with project management, with engineers, because a lot of times those two don't like to work together. Usually your engineers could care less about cost, and project management could care less about technical, as long as it gets done on time and on schedule. But what I found is by combining those two together, technical and management together, and leadership skills, you can get things done so much quicker and have a better product in the end.
So when we're thinking about that, and everything I heard you talk about spells out big company, big government programs, you know, it doesn't seem to fit well, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, in case you're wondering, into, let's say I want to go make a startup. I want to develop an app and sell it a million times and make some money. You know, the quick money in information technology is all, you know, not putting a bunch of things together that exist and trying to make it better, but, you know, that how can I make something that I can repeat and sell? So how would systems engineering fit into, if I wanted to, you know, we want to make something better that's not just a big company or government organizing something. What does it mean to somebody maybe entering into the market or a new company?
System engineering can really help benefit just by the mindset. It's tough to describe. Electrical engineering is very easy to describe, right? I mean, there is physics that really define electrical engineering. Mm-hmm. Mechanical engineering, easy to define. It's typically something that you can do with your hands. System engineering is more of a thought process in how you actually go about design, development, mm-hmm. And then eventually getting rid of a product, right? So when you ask how can you do it, it sounds like a big business, when actually it's kind of the opposite. It's really from a small business perspective, if you can get a system engineering perspective, it's about being efficient. Mm-hmm. It's about Kaizen theory. Which means constant, it's a Japanese word, means constant change, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like anything that you're trying to make better, faster, quicker, cheaper, but at the same time, maintaining that full engineering capability. I was overseeing personnel at one point in my career, and one of the questions that I have to ask is, hey, where's your seismic analysis, right? Mm-hmm. Well, these guys were very, very smart mechanically.
Seismic analysis.
Correct. So
explain it.
Seismic analysis for an engineer is what happens if we have an earthquake.
Gotcha.
What happens if your facility is right next to a bombing range, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we've got Fort Carson right here. There's a bombing range that I live in Pueblo West. I can hear them multiple times a month. Overseeing this contractor asked to see their seismic analysis. They said, oh, well, we do a tip-tilt analysis. Well, that's not the same. Tip-tilt is, more of a mechanical analysis to say, oh, yeah, if this rack tips over, here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The seismic analysis is really, you have to take on soil samples to see what that soil looks like underneath that building. Sorry, excuse me.
Sorry.
And all of the above, just cradle to grave of what would happen if something took place. Mm-hmm. Without knowing that, you might have a problem, but you might not have a problem.
Yeah. Go ahead and get a drink there. It still seems to almost always, in terms of who has the ability to staff somebody for systems engineering, not be something that's... not be something that's like, let's make a product really quick, get out the market so we can run a startup or something. So it's almost like an afterthought that we start putting those together when our organizations get more mature. And that way, I mean, we're all about cybersecurity. It's very similar to cybersecurity. It's looked at after we get the functionality there, after we get the product to market, after we start making money, then we'll spend some time going back and looking at that. But by then, we've already left so many gaping holes, like you said, with maybe just missing one analysis, right? Yep. And this just smacks the whole thing of exactly the same problem we have in cybersecurity. It's not the thing that makes money for us up front. It's the thing that we do once we have problems.
That's correct. So as a system engineer, when I worked at Honeywell for 15 years, like mm-hmm. I said. And as a system engineer, when DiaCap packages first came out, I remember I was working a firm fixed price project. I was in the middle of the project. Most of our projects were about 36 months long. When they first came to me and said, hey, we got cybersecurity concerns. We got this new thing, it's called DiaCap. We got to put this package together. And as the lead engineer, you need to make sure it all happens. And then follow all these regulations. Well, this was all new to me at that time. I was just an engineer, didn't know anything, not much about cybersecurity. And what we ended up doing was being forced to implement all these cyber requirements, which essentially shut the system down. So you're right. Cybersecurity, along with system engineering, always seems to be an afterthought. Mm-hmm. When really... it should be part of the design up front.
Yeah. So let's take a break. We'll let you cough up a little bit, and we'll hear from our sponsors. And we hope you get over the cold. You got a little bit going on pretty soon. We'll be right back if we hear from our sponsors.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Talking today to Nate Moser, and we haven't even got to the smalls, but before the break, we were talking about the systems engineering and how it kind of runs into the same age-old issues as cybersecurity. It's the afterthought, right? Get the function out there, make money as fast as possible. Now, whoops, there's some compatibility things. There's some interoperability things that we didn't think about. So let's get a systems engineer to come in. How do we change that mentality? How do we start thinking about systems engineering and the bigger picture from the ground up in even like our startups or our initial projects when we're under so much pressure just to get something out?
So now there's two ways to look at it. One, if you're working on government contracts, it really starts in your RFP phase. Before you start proposing, those are the types of questions you need to start asking. If there's no requirements in your request for proposal from the United States government or local, state, what federal, whatever type of contract you're going after, you really need to start asking those questions. Obviously, cybersecurity is a big deal, and you need to do it. So if those requirements aren't in there, you need to put the requirements, you need to have that conversation with the customer. And if they don't want that requirement, I wouldn't even take on that job anymore. What was happening in the past was they would add these requirements, so scope creep, saying, well, you got the, now you have to build your system with cybersecurity in mind. Great. But then came, you need to request all your subcontractors to do that as well. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't understand, well, why is the price going double now? Well, because you're flowing down requirements to a commercial company. You know, the space I always worked in was DOD, so cybersecurity was number one priority. DOD understood that. Commercial side, when I was buying commercial products to implement inside my DOD systems, commercial off-the-shelf COTS products, I can flow those requirements down, but 9 times out of 10 at that time, commercial companies would say, that's not part of our design, and we're not adding it. No matter how much money you throw at them, they were a COTS product, so they just needed to get the product out, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. So I think nowadays, if you have a new idea, you really need to sit back and think, who is your customer going to be? If it's going to be the military at all, if it's going to be anybody that can use your product. I'm so sorry. If it's anybody that can use your product, that's going to have other people's information on PPI, then you should really make sure that you have that design factor in there.
Right. From take a break there. I know you got to. I'll catch up here for a little bit. On top of systems engineering, which we do, systems engineering, which we've been talking about. One other thing I wanted, and we'll make this a short one today. But one other thing I wanted to have you talk about was the smalls organization and what that is. So give us, first of all, just give us a background on what that is and what your mission is.
Sure. So the Smalls, I'll kind of give you a little background of how I got into it, what it is all about. Mm-hmm. So the Smalls is not really an acronym. It's a shortened version. I wasn't coughing at all this morning. Now all of a sudden I get in front of the mic and I'm coughing.
What happens when you talk? Yeah.
So the Smalls is a nonprofit consortium mm-hmm. that really is founded around the concept of how to network, collaborate, and grow. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help small government contractor collaborative. So small government contractors.
Okay.
That's how it started out in 2017. October 2017, we started with two people that just wanted to get like-minded people together that did government contracting that wanted to discuss their pipelines. What do you have? What do I have? Maybe we can team together.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past year, that's really morphed and really grown.
Mm-hmm.
From that original meeting in 2017, which I wasn't part of at the time, I became part of the Smalls in the fall of 2018, so about a year after it started, when I first got into business development. My goal was to start meeting people in the community, get my name out there. Even though I have a large network of people here in town
mm-hmm.
and around the region, my network wasn't business development people. Mm-hmm. So in order to get my name out, I wanted to really talk with these business development people. So I started attending the meetings. Dennis Cater is the CEO of that corporation. It's a nonprofit, yeah. 501(c). And Dennis Cater was the original executive director of that program. So I had asked, hey, can I help out? And since then, we've expanded to meetings up in Aurora, Colorado Springs, and as of last year, we're now doing meetings down in Pueblo. Now, each location is different as well.
Mm-hmm.
Aurora location, because they're right next to Buckley Air Force Base, they really do focus on pipeline still mm-hmm. and the original intent. Pretty much all aerospace, DOD aerospace. Colorado Springs focuses mainly right now on DOD and cyber.
Mm-hmm.
Pueblo, I've kind of opened it up. So what I've seen in the near future here in Colorado is up and down the Front Range, as aerospace continues to grow, DOD business continues to grow. United States Space Force was just put in place. We're now trying to get United States Space Command here in headquartered in Colorado Springs. And if that happens, it's just going to explode up and down the Front Range for the entire ecosystem of small business.
Mm-hmm.
But that ecosystem, what people don't understand, originally, like I said, this Smalls was designed for just small business. And that's all would come to these networking events was the Smalls.
Mm-hmm.
In Pueblo, my thought process, and now we're changing that thought process here in Colorado Springs as well, is we don't want just small business, because it's great if you're a small business and you want to talk to another small business, especially when you're being a startup.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how did you do this? How did you set up your bank account? How did you get your insurance? Everything goes into building a small business. But what it didn't do, it didn't put you in front of the bigs. It didn't put you in front of even smaller companies than you or people that might be completely outside of your realm of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And the perfect example I give, when I was building systems for Honeywell, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just a weapon system you're building. I might need, for example, a contractor that can build a electrical box, right? Well, yeah, there's Google. I can go out and look. But we've got companies right here in Colorado, Pueblo specifically, that can design the exact same boxes that I was buying from another manufacturer halfway across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that we can keep that ecosystem here in Colorado. So that's what the Smalls is designed to do. Bring everybody together. I don't care, even if you're not doing government contracting right now, the whole point is just to get somebody that even might have the idea, maybe I want to sub to a big. Maybe you have your own trash service, right? Or a bathroom cleaning service. And I would never think to go to get work on a base.
Mm-hmm.
But these other big companies, Honeywell's, Northrop's, Harris, they're getting these massive contracts, billion-dollar contracts. They're going to need subs. and they've got small business requirements to meet on those contracts. So what better way to get your name out there and get in front of those big companies than go to these type of events where everybody's together?
Gotcha. So the smalls, it started here in Colorado. Is it based on an organization or connected to anything bigger than the local area, or is it just something totally homegrown?
Totally homegrown. Once again, the need arose from two business development people sitting around from small businesses saying, hey, we just got into business development. Uh-huh. How can we better our careers, right? And that's kind of how it started. There is other companies or other nonprofits around the country that we are now talking with. PNDA, Pacific Northwest Defense Alliance. Mm-hmm. They're headquartered up in Washington. We've been talking with them. We've got another one down in New Mexico that we're talking with. Mm-hmm. But really, honestly, Chris, in the past year, past 12 months to 14 months, the smalls has exploded here in town.
How many people are engaged, or do you have a membership list?
Correct. So we started with two people a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. We're now up to 411 subscribers as of this morning of people that regularly attend our meetings. Mm-hmm. And all up and down the Front Range.
Interesting.
We're getting so much attention now. United States Space Force, small business office, approached us about helping them do some events here in town. So that's more to come. I can't talk too much about that. We're in the middle of planning phase right now.
Awesome.
But it just shows that we're getting that much attention right now. Mm-hmm. We even had the EDC here in town say their number one priority right now is the United States Space Command. Mm-hmm. Number two priority is the smalls. So that's huge, right? For starting something a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and we're already becoming the number two priority in the region. We're getting notice. There's been small business liaisons out of the Pentagon that have asked to speak with us directly already.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting. So what do you need help with? What do you need? How could people engage with you?
It's simple, guys. It's free. Come out to our events.
How would they get on? Is there a meetup group or something? How do you keep
that in your group? So if you go to thesmalls.org, on the very homepage at the very bottom, you can subscribe to our email listing. We send out emails once every Friday with what's going on. We have an events calendar up and down the entire Front Range. And then you also have a page for Colorado Springs, Denver, and Pueblo. We talk about everything that's going on there. I run a blog on there. We've got an events page where you can register directly for all these events. Mm-hmm. All of our smalls events are free. We might promote other people's events. So if you're interested in promoting your event, just go out there, send us a note. There's a location to send us an email right from that page. And honestly, the biggest thing is just to give back, right? Mm-hmm. People keep asking me, well, Nate, are you winning direct business right now every single time for your company, Oasis Systems? My answer is no. I don't win every single time. But if I can help one other person make a connection with somebody else, small business, mm-hmm. that can then create a better product, to me, that's a win. And maybe 3 years from now when they're selling their product to Google or whoever else, or they got another big contract come after, they might remember, hey, who put us in contact? Oh, that was Nate, right, with the smalls. Let's call him up. We need another subcontractor to team with. So that's, to me, that's the way there's never a one for one, right?
Rising tide lifts all ships.
That's correct.
And we do that a lot here. This area is very big on a lot of things in the community, more so than almost anywhere I've ever been. I remember for years I attended like the Project Management Institute meetings here, and there'd be like, 150, 200 people at the monthly meeting. And then I went and lived in Tampa for a while, and there was like 7 people from the whole big area of Tampa, 7 people at the meeting. And it's just this area, people go to these networking events. They all kind of get together. They work on that rising tide brings up all ships. So
it really is. I mean, forever working for a big company, it's a little bit different, right? Because you're so focused on everything that's going on in the multifaceted organization. A lot of times you don't have the time, or you don't make the time to go to these events. Mm-hmm. But as a small contractor or a small business, I truly believe, I know you got a lot going on as a small business owner, but if you have nobody to buy your product, or you can't get your name out there as a contractor, especially with you know, the new things happening in cybersecurity. If you don't get your name out there, you're going to be surpassed very quickly by the next small business that's going to come up and do the exact same thing of the idea that you just had.
Yep. It's a matter of who gets known and who gets out there.
So really, to answer your question, you know, if anybody was interested in the smalls, go to the smalls. I'm now sitting on the board of directors for Colorado PTAC, the Procurement Technical Assistance Center, another great organization and free resource to anybody that's a small business here in the area. Look up PTAC. They'll be able to go in and help direct you to these events. That's really going to help you kick your business off, whether it be cybersecurity, engineering, or maybe just have the idea of the next great app.
Yeah. All right. So also, your business Oasis, I always like to give a chance to say, what is it that you do? Who are your customers? What services do you offer there?
Sure. So Oasis Systems, we are headquartered out of Burlington, Massachusetts, right outside Hanscom Air Force Base. We were founded in 1997, and the whole idea of the company was to give back to the United States military. Our main product is people. ANAS, so Advisory and Assistant Services, is the type of contracts that we do, typically, or CETA, which is System Engineering. And really what that is so the government typically will hire a large company to design and develop and build a weapon system. Okay, so when we talked, again, Raytheon, Northrop, Honeywell, they're the ones that are building these massive systems. But with the way the military works, every 2 years, you have new leadership. It's really tough to learn a system in 2 years. So what they do is they release what's called an ANAS contract, or Advisory Assistant Services contract. And companies like mine will go out there and bid on those contracts. And what that does is we are the ones that then oversee those big contractors. So if Harris gets a contract, they'll be the ones designing, but then every month they have deliverables to give to the government. And then what they end up doing is the government, that young captain, if you will then come to us and say, hey, can you please review this and tell us if it's good or bad? And that's what Oasis Systems does.
Right. So we won't make you talk anymore, but I do want to thank you for coming on today and roughing through this getting over a cold to chat with us. And we appreciate being in the studio as well. Thanks, Nate.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.